guys are here, it's time for us to fill out our connection card. Look in your bulletin. You should have one of these. If you need one, raise your hand. I don't know if our, Jackie's right there. If you need a connection card, raise your hand. If you need a pen, raise your hand. We'll get that to you. If this is your first time here at Celebration, we want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being here today on our camping weekend, camping Sunday. And if you'll fill out as much of the front of the card as you're comfortable with, that would be really, really great. Also, you can put on here, if it's your first time, we do have a gift that we want to give you if you're here for the first time. All of our first-time guests, we give a gift. And at the end of our service, if you'll just head over to our guest services table, let them know this is your first time, and they will hook you up with that first-time gift. For everyone else, of course, we just need your name on the front of the card. If there's something changed, you can use the card for that. And then on the other side, if you have a prayer request, be sure and indicate that, because we do pray for those every week. And a couple of next steps, we encourage you to invite someone to church. We've even put an invite card in your bulletin there that you can use to invite someone. And then next Sunday, next Sunday is actually going to be really, really cool. First of all, we have a special guest that's going to be here next Sunday that's going to preach. Mosley Collins is going to be here next Sunday. And if you haven't heard Mosley's radio program, this will be a great time for you to come and hear him speak. He's a really, really powerful preacher. And then also after church next week is our newcomers reception. So if you're new to the church and you haven't gone to our newcomers reception, you are invited, and you can use the card to RSVP. There's food. That's part of the reason why we ask you to RSVP. Our team will know how much food to prepare. There's food. There's prizes. There's an opportunity to hear from the staff, ask questions, connect with the staff of the church. So that'll be next Sunday. Be sure and mark your calendar for that. We turn our cards in at the very end of our service today, so you have time to deal with all that. And we turn these in at the end when we take our offering. I want to transition here. And before we get started with what I want to share with you this morning, I want us to start with a word of prayer. So if you guys will bow your heads with me. Father God, we thank you again so much for this day and what it means to so many people. God, I want to thank you for all of the veterans that are here today. Thank you, God, for their sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for their service. And God, we want to extend our prayers to family and friends of those that have given their lives, Lord, for our nation. I thank you so much, God, for the freedom that we have here, that your hand of blessing has been upon our country. God, I pray now that you will speak to us through your word as we delve into what you want to say to us today. I pray, Father, that we would leave here today having had a real encounter with you. And God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your love, your faithfulness, and your goodness. And that, God, you desire to connect with our hearts today. So, God, we honor you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, welcome back to our series that we've been entitled Wealth Building Strategies from King Solomon. Go ahead and look in your bulletin. You should have your message notes. You can go ahead and get those out so that you can follow along with what we're going to be focusing on this morning. I've been looking forward to this. I love the book of Proverbs. I love wisdom. I love to study about wisdom. I love to teach about wisdom. And so today will be part five of our series, Wealth Building Strategies. What we're doing in this series is we've been basically sitting at King Solomon's feet and learning some of the things that he, some of the things that God has revealed to him concerning wisdom, concerning building wealth in all the areas of our lives. At the top of your notes, there's 1 Kings 10, starting at verse 23. It says, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. Can you imagine today in our time if there was some person that God had imparted all the wisdom pretty much of the earth, that literally everyone in the nation, everyone in the world actually, would go to that person, would try to spend time with that person just to try to learn from who that was. Can you imagine if that was true in our time? That's the way that it was in the ancient world. King Solomon was literally that person. That the whole world, kings, queens, dignitaries, people would travel thousands of miles just to spend time with him, to learn from what he had learned from God. So this is what this series has been all about, wealth building strategies from King Solomon. So what we've been talking about for the past 4 weeks is about how life is a journey and that we need to take wisdom with us on that journey. I gave you guys a biblical definition of wisdom throughout this time, and I want to give it to you again so you can write this down. Wisdom is the ability to apply the Word of God accurately to the problems in your life. That's biblical wisdom, the ability to apply the Word of God accurately to the problems in your life. So today, what I want to do is I want to address I won't necessarily call it a problem. Let's call it a challenge. A challenge that all of us in the room right now, every single one of us, this is a challenge that all of us have. And this problem or challenge, let's be politically correct, this challenge can be found in the New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9. Colossians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in the city of Colossae. But in chapter 1, verse 9, you guys can read along. You'll see it on the screen. Paul writes, he says, "So we have not stopped praying for you, since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom." Can I hear you say wisdom? "To give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Because then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." I want you guys to underline the word wisdom. Underline the word grow. And underline the word learn. The words wisdom, the word grow, and the word learn. Now, I think that every single one of you here has a desire to honor and to please the Lord. That's why you're here. That's why, you know, you've taken a break from the camping site and you're here for a little while. You may still smell like smoke, but that's all right. I believe that that's your desire. That means certainly my desire to honor and to please the Lord. The struggle, the challenge that we face is knowing how. Right. How do we do that? And maybe that's been your struggle. Maybe that's your challenge, is trying to figure out, this is something that's in my heart. It makes sense, it's logical, or I really just want this, but I don't necessarily know how to go about doing that. Let me ask you something. And then again, maybe that's not something that you've ever really even thought about. But let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about wanting to make God smile? Have you ever thought about that? Ever thought, I wonder what I would do. How would I make God smile or make God laugh? I don't think a lot of people think about that from that standpoint. I think most people are just focused on survival. Man, I'm just trying to, pay my bills and make it to heaven. That's all I'm focused on. But the idea of literally wanting to make God smile, isn't that part of pleasing? Wouldn't that be part of pleasing someone? Honoring and pleasing God would involve making him smile, making him laugh, making him enjoy you. I want you guys to think about that this week. Think about ways, or think about just the desire to want to make God smile. So how do we honor and please God? I want to start here. Okay, here we go. Five frogs. How about that for a transition? We're talking about camping. Five frogs. Five frogs are sitting on a log. Two decide to jump off. How many are left? I love this group. You guys are like, I know this is a trick question. Five frogs are sitting on a log. Two decide to jump off. How many are left?
Five.
Yeah, the answer is five. Just because we decide to do something doesn't mean that we actually do it. Deciding to do something isn't the same as doing something. Amen? Say amen or oh no.
Amen.
You might be in the I want to stage of honoring and pleasing God. I would like to honor and please God. But you're still sitting on the log where you haven't actually done anything to please and honor God, because you still have excuses. The late Zig Ziglar, he used to share this story about this man who went to his next door neighbor to borrow his lawnmower, and the neighbor explained that he couldn't let him borrow the lawnmower because all the flights from New York to LA had been canceled. And so he asks the neighbor, he says, what do canceled flights from New York to L.A. have to do with me borrowing your lawnmower? And the man says, it doesn't have anything to do with it. But if I don't want you to use my lawnmower, one excuse is as good as another. And so it is when it comes to our honoring and pleasing God with our whole life. One excuse is as good as another. Because deciding to do something, wanting to do something, is not the same as doing something. So what I want to do is, based on this passage in Colossians chapter 1, let's look at what we need to do to actually jump off the log, if you will, the log of excuses into a better life. So what I want to do is I'm going to give you guys four items that are necessary to honor and please the Lord. So you can write these down. The first item is, of course, wisdom. In Colossians 1:9, Paul said, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. So wisdom is the first item. And we've been talking about this throughout the whole series. There's two verses I want you to pay attention to. The first one is Proverbs 3:13. It says, blessed is the man or woman who finds wisdom, the man or woman who gains understanding. And then look at the next one from Proverbs 19:8. It says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who cherishes understanding prospers. Now, when we look at these two verses, most people hone in on the word blessed and the word prospers. Do those two words jump out at you? Who here wants to be blessed? Who here wants to prosper? Yeah. So, I mean, our eyes are going to immediately go to those two things. But what I want you to do is underline the word finds, underline the word gains, underline the word gets, and underline the word cherishes. Now, what do all these words have in common? They all imply some sort of action on our part. You want to be blessed? You have to find wisdom. You have to gain understanding. You want to prosper? You have to get wisdom. You have to cherish understanding. There's action on your part. You have to jump off the log, if you will. You can't just think about it. You can't just want it or decide on it. You have to actually do something. There's action. So here's the thing. Wisdom has to be pursued. Yes. Wisdom doesn't just fall on you. Right. You have to pursue. You have to go after wisdom. And if you will do that, you will prosper. You will be blessed. So now wisdom comes as a result of the next item that's in your notes. And the next item is the word growing. Wisdom is a result of growth. You have to grow. Turn to the person next to you and say, you need to grow. You got to grow. So Colossians 1, verse 9 again, it says, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then he says, all the while you will grow, from Colossians 1:10. All the while you will grow. God wants you to grow as a person. Personal growth is important. That's really important. But God wants you to grow up spiritually. He wants you to grow up spiritually. But you have to want to grow up spiritually. Years ago, I remember Toys R Us used to have this advertising campaign where the little kid would sing. I'm not going to sing. The little kid would sing. He would say, "I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid." Some of us are like that little kid in the song. I don't want to grow up. I'm a kid. But God wants you to grow up spiritually. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, he said, Peter writes, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." Here's something you need to understand. The natural world that we see and experience is patterned after the spiritual world that we don't see. Amen? The things that we see in the natural help us understand the things that exist in the spiritual realm. They help us to understand because we're able to relate to it. We're able to see it and visualize it. But the same things are true in the spiritual realm. That's why he says, just like newborn babies crave milk. All of us can understand and relate and maybe have seen a newborn baby and how a newborn baby craves milk. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We've all seen that, right? We've all seen how a baby it just is aggressive about and just natural. It's not having to think about it like, you know, I think today I would rather have this kind. You know, I mean, it's just natural. It's instinctive that they crave milk. Isn't it interesting that a baby craves the very thing that is necessary for it to grow?
Yes.
It's not planned out or thought through. It's instinctive. It's natural. And what Peter is saying, that in the spiritual realm, it should be the same way. We should crave spiritual things. Because we would understand, it would be instinctive, it would be natural for us to understand that when we crave spiritual things, spiritual milk, that it would cause us to grow. Because God wants you to grow up spiritually. Peter says that we should crave the very things that cause us to grow spiritually. God's word. Worship,
yes.
Prayer,
yes.
Church,
yes.
Generosity,
yes.
Tithing,
yes.
Evangelism,
yes.
All these spiritual things enable us to grow up,
yes.
Spiritually. Now, all of us understand that growing up is really, really important. I mean, what would things be like if everyone in the world stayed a baby? What would happen? What would get done? What would things be like if all of us were still in diapers running around? You know, it's kind of a disturbing picture. But spiritually, do you still have your diaper on? Because from God's perspective, he may be like, "Whoa, man. Oh my gosh. Somebody needs to do something." Because it's important. Growing up involves maturity. And maturity actually protects you. Because maturity enables you to be able to handle things that come at you in life. A person in their 50s can handle more things in life than a 15-year-old can. You give a 15-year-old, a 50-year-old's problems,
right,
they ain't going to be able to handle that.
Right.
You know, when, by the time you're 50, you've experienced things. You've overcome issues. You've figured things out in a lot of ways because you're more mature. That's why spiritual growth and maturity are so important. You can write this down. When difficult days come, immaturity and lack of growth become serious problems. Because when difficult stuff comes, immaturity and lack of growth become serious problems. You know, you can joke around about growing spiritually, but when the wolf comes, he's going to blow your straw house down.
Yes.
Spiritual maturity protects you. So instead, crave pure spiritual milk so you will grow up and move on. You'll move on to solid food, as the Bible talks about. Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 13, says, "For someone who lives on milk is still an infant, doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." How many of you guys think that the ability to recognize the difference between right and wrong is really, really important? I want you to underline the words training and skill in that passage in Hebrews 5. Training and skill. This leads to the next item. The third item is the word learning. Learning. Colossians 1:10 says, "All the while you will grow as you learn." All the while you will grow as you learn. Learning equals growing. Or training equals growing. Learning equals growing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes to his young protege, Timothy. He says, "Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly." Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Those of you that know me know that I love sports, and I love being around pro athletes and learning from them and just watching. You know, when a pro athlete walks in the room, everyone knows that's a pro athlete.
Right.
You know what I mean? And but it's because of the life that they've decided to live, the way that they go about things. Pro athletes always talk about getting better.
Right.
Always. That's all they ever talk about. How do I get better? How can I improve? How can I get stronger? How can I get faster? How can I be more effective? They're constantly focused on learning. They're constantly reading, watching video, because they understand the principle that learning equals growing. And Paul tells Timothy that the same principle, again, what's in the natural is true in the spiritual. But Paul says the spiritual, when it comes to this, is more important than the physical or the natural. great. It's great if you get better, you get stronger, you get faster, or whatever. But in the spiritual, it talks about the benefits extend beyond this life. Yeah. How fast you are ain't gonna matter in heaven. Amen? So the stakes are much higher in that situation. I want you to underline the word accept in that 1 Timothy passage. But before we move on to the next one, I want to ask you this. What are you working on in your life? What are you learning? What are you focused on trying to get better at? Are you reading? Are you studying? Do you have someone who's mentoring you or guiding you in some way? I was thinking about this. Right now I'm reading two different books on leadership. I read a lot. I read a lot of books. I read tons of articles. I'm a reader. That's part of how I learn. And even as far as music, I mean, I've been playing the bass for over 40 years now. I'm still learning stuff. I've got stuff on my phone. I'm constantly trying to learn new scales or new different things. It's just part of it because you wanna grow. If you wanna grow, you have to learn. So I want to close with this. Here's our last item, number 4, my favorite one, and it's the word listening. Listening. Listening is where the quest for wisdom begins. Listening. You can write this down. Listening is the seed for learning. Listening is the seed for learning. Proverbs 1, verse 5 says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning." Let the wise listen and add to their learning. The ability, you guys, listen, check this out. The ability to listen and follow instructions is critical for success. Yeah. If you can't listen, you can't follow instructions, you're going to always struggle. Yeah. Because listening is the seed for learning. It's one of the most important things you can learn. It's one of the most important things you can teach your kids and your grandkids. It's a key to success. I had the pleasure to get to spend some time with the worship team on a Thursday night and teach them some things musically, some rhythmic things. You guys remember? And I'll tell you, it was really, really cool because they listened.
Yes. Awesome.
And I could tell they were learning because they were listening. They were leaning in and they were focused and they were working on things that I was trying to show them. Do you listen? Do you have someone that knows more than you that you listen to? Do you put yourself in that position? Did you know that the mark of humility, yes, is the ability to ask questions?
Amen.
If you don't ask questions, you're not humble. Because that means you think you know everything.
Right.
But humble people ask questions. Can you show me how you did that? Can you show me, you know, why did you go about it like that? Why did we do it this way? You know, can you explain that to me? Can you show me? Can you teach me? From a music standpoint, that's how you grow. You have to be around people that know more than you and be able to ask them, so can you show me, can you teach me? The willingness to ask questions is the proof of humility. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Who do you listen to? Who do you hang out with? Asking the right people the right questions is the key to learning. The last one, James 1, verse 19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So how are we doing with this one? Are you slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to become angry?
Now you're getting personal.
Got some work to do. Got some work to do on that one. But notice he says everyone.
Everyone.
So this isn't a personality thing. Well, it's just my personality. No. He says everyone. He says everybody. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, because listening is the seed to learning. So here's the formula. Listening leads to learning. Learning leads to growing. Growing leads to wisdom. You want to know how to honor and please God? Listening leads to learning. Learning leads to growing. Growing leads to wisdom. This is how you honor and please the Lord. Listen to his voice through his word, through worship, through prayer. Learn and grow so that you know God better and better. Then you will make him smile. But you got to jump. You got to jump off that log. You guys bow your heads. Lord God, I believe that there are some here today that are ready to make the leap, ready to go past just simply thinking about something, feeling things, wanting or desiring, but they're ready to actually start by listening and learning and growing and gaining wisdom. And so, God, I just pray that you'll seal your word in our hearts right now. I pray that you'll speak to us, God, and you will show each one of us exactly what you want us to do. And I thank you right now in advance for that, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, I want to ask if you're here and if you're ready to make a change, ready to put into action some of the things that you've been wrestling with. There's been things in your heart, within your mind, just the inner you that you've been questioning. You've been wanting to know what to do and how to go about this. You want to see blessing happen in your life. You're wanting to see that you're wanting to prosper more in different areas of your life, but you haven't known exactly what to do. But now you do. If you're in that place of now I know what I need to do, will you just lift your hand right now? Because I just want to pray a prayer of agreement with you. Just between you and God, whatever it is that God's telling you or revealed to you, whatever action God is calling you to, would you just simply agree with him in that? And just say, yes, God, you're right. I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to jump. Father God, I just want to stand in agreement with every person that has raised their hand here today. All the action steps that are about to happen. And God, I just ask that by your grace, you will You will empower them. You will enable them, God, that you will give them great success in the areas that they are moving in. I pray your blessing to be upon them, God. Help them to grow. Help them, God, to become everything that you've called them to be. All the potential that is within them, God, I pray that you will enable them to reach. And so, God, we pray, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise?